I will be reading 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming upon you. Your wealth has rotted, the moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded, their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth the last day. Look the wages you fail to pay the workmen who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvest and have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty.
Good morning. Have a few visitors with us today, and we're certainly glad that you're here. It's an exciting day for us. In preparation for this day, we're going to be installing some elders this morning. I began to think about the church here in this place, and I know that we just recently celebrated our 50th anniversary of being the Lord's Church here in this place. And as I was thinking about our history, I can't help but to think that LaVon, who does such a wonderful work here as a secretary, she's been putting our baptismal records online. And boy, there's a lot of them. This church has brought a lot of people to God through the years. In the last 12 months, probably the last 8 months, we have baptized 13, soon to be 14, and that's just exciting and encouraging. We've seen a lot of spiritual growth through the years. We've seen people reach out and do things that they've never done and grow in the Lord. We've done World Bible School. We have helped missionaries. Am I rattling? I can fix that. How's that? I'll just have to talk loud. We've supported missionaries in a lot of different places. We've sent people on mission trips. And we've done a lot of work for the Lord. But with every little bit of sunshine comes some rain. Over the years, we have seen brothers and sisters fall away from the Lord here. Through the years, we have seen Christians get upset at each other, as you'd see in any church, I think. We've had some adversity as well as the good. And in understanding these truths, I think about the future of the Lord's church in this place. My hope is that according to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, that we will continue to glorify God in the church here at Cedarloo. That our focus will not be on ourselves, but that we will put our focus on God. We, the Cedarloo Church of Christ, more so than ever, stand at a fork in the road. And with this in mind, I'm so glad that God has raised up among us guides to help us in our path to godliness, in our adventure to seek righteousness, if you will. We have an awesome God, church. We have an awesome God that in His foreknowledge, He prepared shepherds to walk among us and help guide us in the paths of righteousness. This is a historic day for the Cedarloo Church of Christ because after we install our elders this morning, we will have more elders here than we have ever had in this place. What an awesome thing, what an awesome potential that's going to be for us as we engage kingdom business here on behalf of the Lord. Before we do that, I want to take a few moments to remind our current shepherds and those that will be appointed today. Now, let me find the ones that are going to be appointed today so I know where, because I'm talking to you. I see three. Okay. Before we do, I want to remind our current shepherds and those who will be appointed today that there are some things that should always be front and center with your shepherding responsibilities. In no greater place can they be seen than in the words of the great shepherd himself as he prays for his flock in John chapter 17. You recall John chapter 17, Jesus is praying for his disciples. That's his flock. This is the longest recorded prayer that we have of Jesus, and he spells out the things that are concerning to him as the great shepherd for his flock. So, current elders, now I've lost one of the current elders. Where are you at, Engel? Okay. I want to know where everybody's sitting, so because I'm talking to you guys. As Jesus is praying for his disciples, his flock, he spells out these important things that's front and center on his attention. And they need to be on y'all's and elders-to-be. The very first thing is really not in the words in John chapter 17. If you want to go there, we'll be there in a minute. But it's just the fact of prayer. Elders must be men of prayer. Men who look to God for their guidance. Men who understand the words of Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that says, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his own steps. Men of prayer understand that God has all the answers, and not man. Prayer should be your compass. You should never forget that there is power in prayer. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, after those folks had prayed, the place where they were praying was shaken. James chapter 5 and verse 16 points out that the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. As a matter of priority, elders must keep the sheep in prayer before God. We, the sheep, remind you, elders and elders-to-be, please keep us before the throne of grace in your prayers. Because the truth is, the devil is a roaring lion seeking to devour us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Prayer warriors. That's what an elder should be. Then, shepherds should be willing to sacrifice for the sheep. Now, this gets us into the text. John chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Jesus spoke these things, and he lifted up his eyes to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come to glorify your sons, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Here Jesus refers to the honor of his sacrifice on the cross for the purpose of bringing God glory. He says, Father, the hour has come. He's talking about his crucifixion. The hour has come. Glorify me so that I may glorify you. What he's talking about that is, if you look up the word glory, it talks about honor. He's saying, send me to the cross so that I can glorify you. Elders to be and current elders, you should understand always that as an elder, you, above all, are to be men of sacrifice, willing to lay down your life for the sheep. Sacrifice yourself. It's foundational. You ask our current elders and our past elders who have stepped down, and they will tell you that being an elder takes a lot of sacrifice. Oftentimes, I can't help but to think right now, where's Warden Phyllis? Phyllis said one day to Ward, I need to have something wrong with me so you can spend a little time with me. You get the point, Ward, to having a sacrifice. Elders, sacrifice is important. You must deeply hold to the words of Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 that says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." A godly shepherd is one that would lay down his life for the sheep, as Jesus did, John chapter 10 and verse 11. Always understanding that the sheep's lives are at stake. The Lord asks you to be watchful for us. Because you see, sheep kind of do this thing where they just tuck their head down the ground and they graze and they're not always paying attention where they're going. You men need to be watchful for the sheep. Then shepherds must help the sheep know God and know Jesus. Look at verse 3. "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." The word "know" here is a prolonged form of the verb which points to a deep relationship with God. Elders must be focused in on helping the flock to know both God the Father and Jesus the Christ. Shepherds must help the flock to grow closer to God, because as we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us, James chapter 4 and verse 8. Shepherds, be ever mindful that part of your responsibility as given to us by this example of the Great Shepherd is to always have God the Father and God the Son before us, helping us to become more like God. Shepherds, always remember that the sheep belong to God. John chapter 17, verse 6 says, "I have manifested your name to the men whom you gave to me out of the world, that they were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." Shepherds must never forget that the sheep do not belong to them. The sheep belong to God, and the elders are stewards to guard and protect what is God's. With that comes great responsibility and the accountability of a shepherd mentioned in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. Basically, elders and elders-to-be need to understand that the sheep have been entrusted by God to you, the fiduciary relationship. Shepherds also must help the flock stay grounded in Christ. Verse 11 of John 17, Jesus says, "I'm no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me." Shepherds must help the flock to always remember that Jesus is their road to salvation. That there is no other name under heaven given by which men must be saved, Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. And that it is Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no one comes to the Father except through Him, John chapter 14 and verse 6. Now, that would seem to go without saying, wouldn't it? If we're serious Bible students. But you know what? It seems to me, as I look on TV and I look around in the world and I listen to things going on, that people are seeking salvation in a lot of other different ways besides Jesus, through Jesus the Son. Shepherds, keep us grounded. Keep us understanding that the only way to the Father is through the Son. Shepherds also must help the flock to be in the world, but not of the world. Verse 15 and 16 says, "I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Shepherds should counsel heavily on not being unequally yoked with non-believers, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. They should help us to figure out how to live in this world without becoming a part of it. And you know, that can be kind of hard. We're living here in the flesh. We're having to operate here in the flesh. According to fleshly rules, you know, it's easy to kind of get focused on that. Jesus is praying for His sheep, and He's saying, Father, help them to while they're living here, to get along here, but not to become a part of here. Shepherds should help the flock to be transformed into the image of God. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. No, I read that wrong. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Shepherds should always be reminded and be thoughtful of helping us, the sheep, to learn how and to embrace a daily transformation in our lives. And shepherds should always help us to remember that our citizenship is in heaven, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. That we are just pilgrims passing through, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. And that we should not put down roots here in this world. And you know what? In the past, I've struggled with that. Put down roots. I get the idea somehow that this is, I need to make this permanent. Have you ever been there? You know, you got long-term, I did this when I was younger. I had long-term goals and dreams for this life. It doesn't really amount to anything. Elders to be and elders, help us not to lose sight as sheep that we don't need to put down roots here, that we need to look for that heavenly home. We need to be working toward that heavenly destination, to where God has planned that we should be with Him, John chapter 14. Shepherds should continually guide the sheep in the sanctification that comes through the truths of God's Word. Verse 17, sanctify them in truth. Your Word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them in the world. Never to be forgotten by a shepherd is the truth and the seriousness of John chapter 4 and verse 24 that simply says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That if we continue in the words of Jesus, that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. John 8, 31 and 32. Elders, always remember that it is God's Word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Psalms 119, 105. That through the inspired Scripture, we are given all things pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. That God in His infinite wisdom hasn't left us to design our own will and our own way concerning Him, but through God's Word has left us a pattern of how He wants us to live. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17. And that our delight should be in the law of the Lord, in which we meditate day and night, Psalms chapter 1, in which the psalmist says that we are like trees planted beside the streams of water. The only thing that's going to make this church grow, it won't be all the programs we can come up with in the back of our minds, but this is the only thing that will make this church grow. The truth of God's Word. And shepherds should always, always be mindful of unity. Verse 22 and 23 says, the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me, and love them even as you have loved me. shepherds should always remember that kingdom work is grown through peace. Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." The Apostle Paul tells us to be diligent to preserve the unity in the Spirit through the bond of peace, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. And if you have not been here for Bible class lately, you have been missing quite a feast of study from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And if you read the entire book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there is one key theme for certain, and it is the idea of unity. Very important. The church struggled with it then. Sometimes the church struggles with it now. Elders have to be ever mindful of that. Jesus spells it out plainly by saying this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. "Any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and any city or house divided against itself will not stand." Elders and elders-to-be, you got to promote peace among us. You got to be there to help us solve our difficulties. When we get to yik-yakking at each other, you need to step in and make us hug and make up. You need to show us the path of unity, because it's through peace that kingdom work is promoted. And finally, shepherds must help us keep grounded in love. Verse 26, Jesus says, "And I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them." Shepherds must help us stay focused. Focused on our eternal entrance into the sheep pen of God. And that focus really comes through the foundation of love. The words of John call us back to the very core of relationship with God in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, where he says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Love is the tie that binds. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You'll pick that up. And finally, love is the key ingredient that covers a multitude of sin. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. You know what? When the name Cedarloo Church of Christ is spoken of in this town, it's my hope that the first thing people think is, that's a loving bunch of people. And secondly, that they know the Bible. Right there first. You're with me, aren't you? Shepherds and those to be, today Jesus charges you by example to be men of prayer, to be men of sacrifice, to be men who help the flock to know God the Father and God the Son, to be men who understand that the sheep belong to God and you are a steward of that. You are to be men who help the sheep stay grounded in Christ. You are to be men helping the sheep learn how to live in this world without becoming part of it. You are to be men who point to the sanctification that comes through the truths of God's Word. You are to be men who promote unity. And you are to be men who are constantly stirring the waters of love. thank God that He takes care of us with these kind of men.